Hello. Oh, thanks for pulling that up for me. I didn't realize. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about our the multi-pronged strategy that we've developed and implemented over the past couple years in Reach NOLA and in partnership with a lot of other organizations locally. I don't have any relationships to disclose. And so really briefly, I'm assuming that most of you who have come in this room because you already recognize why language services are important in healthcare. But just really briefly, there is federal legislation that mandates it. There are also national standards that call for language appropriate services in healthcare. And there's plenty of research that's demonstrated that not providing language appropriate services is risky both to health outcomes as well as to organizational liability issues. And there's other research that's demonstrated that a lack of language appropriate services causes decreased access to primary health care for limited English proficient folks, as well as increases hospitalization, ER use, and medication error. If you guys are interested in more information and resources references, I'd be happy to give you a reference sheet at the end. So just to give you a little bit of context about the New Orleans community post-Katrina, after Hurricane Katrina, there was a flooding, actually, of Latinos coming into New Orleans to help us rebuild the city, which is really in large part why we're back today. So it's a lot of thanks to those folks. But in large part, the Latino community that came after Katrina didn't see a new language barrier that was that came up. The Latino community tripled in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, and the new folks didn't speak much English. Historically, the Latino community in New Orleans, for the most part, did speak English. So there was a new language need there. Also, with the decimation of the healthcare system with Katrina, the Vietnamese community, which has been long established in New Orleans and is really quite self-sufficient, faced new language barriers because of having to access healthcare in a different way. So when we started out looking at, okay, how do we want to address this need, we started by polling a bunch of the English ESL programs, the English as a Second Language programs in the city, and found that of the over 200 ESL students that we polled, over 90% had experienced language access as a barrier to healthcare, or knew somebody who had experienced language access as a barrier. Also, talking to providers across the city, healthcare providers, were also saying that it was a really big issue for them, not being able to provide adequate care to folks who didn't speak English. So because of this new need that and growing language need after Katrina, there wasn't much going on as far as interpreter training, language access standards in healthcare before Katrina. And so we really kind of were starting from scratch with this program. Us and our partners. So we started by thinking about, okay, what are the different groups that are impacted by language barriers in healthcare, and who do we really need to engage in improving standards and improving services, right? So the five groups that that became our five-pronged strategy were the LEP, or limited English proficient folks in the community, the health providers and staff, medical interpreters, organizational administrators, and policymakers and general public, which we clustered together. And you'll notice on these next slides, I've included the logos for our partner lead organizations that have really taken lead with us in developing each of these prongs. With the limited English proficient community in New Orleans, we really focused on education and mobilization of those folks. So that was through actually very similar things to what you were just presenting on with the health education sessions about different health topics and linking folks directly to health programs that were available for low cost and in Spanish or the languages that they needed. We also did a series of five community forums reaching the LEP community that talk really where we focused on, okay, talking about what are your rights in receiving quality language services in healthcare. You have a right to working with professional interpreters and language access services. And both through the community health education sessions and the community forums, we were able to use a couple of patient advocacy tools. One is going circulating around the room. It's a resource guide that we developed and update with one of our partners that lists low-cost or free health, legal, social services in the area and specifies with each entry if Spanish is available there or not. And then I Speak cards, which have been used all over the country as an advocacy tool. And if you're interested in more about that, I can share later. So our second prong, and this is just a picture of one of our health education sessions. So our second prong was working with health providers and staff. And that was really focused on training and development of staff, usually through all staff meetings at clinics or hospitals. And it included, you know, security guards, front desk staff, all the way through medical providers. Talking together as a team about, okay, how can we create a welcoming environment for folks who don't speak English? What are hands-on skills and resources that we can use to communicate effectively with folks who don't speak English? How do you work effectively with an interpreter? How do you access an interpreter? So through these first two prongs, and I think they really mesh, they go very well together, we actually did find a dramatic increase in limited English proficient community members knowing where to access health services and actually scheduling their appointments themselves and calling less on community advocates as emergency interpreter support because there was an increased capacity in organizations and an increased knowledge base in the community to know where to access services and how to access services, as well as a capacity in the organizations to actually provide the services to the community. We also found in our qualitative, and we actually evaluated very similarly with a pre-post survey for all of these sessions, we found a qualitative difference with community members where they actually recognized that, you know, I do have a right to ask for language appropriate services when I go to the hospital. And also from providers that, okay, this is possible, was really the biggest thing, is like, okay, maybe it's not so inconvenient, and I recognize why it's risky and why it's important to use a trained interpreter instead of a family member, which is very common. Okay, so finally, working with the medical interpreters and actually training medical interpreters. There aren't other medical interpreter training programs like this in the state of Louisiana yet. Hopefully there will be more soon. But we're so far the first one covering ethics and techniques and vocabulary and hands-on skills practice. And we have, in the past 2 years that we've been doing this program, trained over 100 interpreters. And they are now working in over 15 organizations locally, which is a big improvement, but we have a long way to go still. The top bullet point is ad hoc interpretation is risky. And again, there's a lot of evidence base out there that says that compared to ad hoc interpreters, trained and professionally qualified interpreters dramatically reduce risk to error in medication and in medical visits. So prong number four, working with organizational administrators, really through education and technical assistance. We've worked with 5 organizations so far. And that's through kind of assessing where they're at, what the needs are, and how to implement policies and procedures to improve services for folks who don't speak English. And then after implementing policies and procedures, we've done mystery shopper, limited English proficient patient walkthroughs of the clinic to provide ongoing feedback. And that's been a slow but steady progression of improving services. And number 5, we've actually really partnered with the Louisiana Language Access Coalition, and they've really taken the lead in this policymaker, general public approach. And they've really been taking large steps in engaging policymakers and the general public on the importance of and different options for municipal and state policy that support limited the implementation of language appropriate services. And I'm gonna talk a little bit more about specifics on that as we go to lessons learned. So I'm sure you can imagine, as we're like starting out from scratch in New Orleans with this new brand new need, we've learned a lot as we've gone, right? So So I had a hard time pulling out, but I think these are the three biggest lessons learned for us. And the first one is really that bringing constituency groups together is a great opportunity for impact. And so we worked for a long time with all of the different constituency groups, recognizing that it was important to engage all of them. But I think the greatest opportunity has come when we've brought people together. And two situations where that really was highlighted was back in May, we had an event where with all of our collaborative partners, where we've brought over 130 folks together, limited English proficient folks, providers, interpreters, advocates, administrators, and had a dialogue about language access, a learning session and a dialogue. And the exchange in the room among folks was really quite fertile and led to not just being able to learn across professional groups and fields, but also to be able to, for folks to like brainstorm ways where we could support each other, because we were all working on it the same issue, but how could we do it together instead of separately? And so a couple of things that came out of that were the opportunity to work with the Louisiana Hospital Association to develop a position statement that they could adopt in support of language access. And then through another public meeting we had with the Medicaid waiver, we've been in dialogues with state leadership on possible options for Medicaid reimbursement for language services. So another key piece is that timing is really crucial. You want to talk to political leaders when they're first coming into office, as we've found that's been more successful for us than at the end of a term, right? And then also interpreter trainings have provided a solution to the problem, and in that way have been really effective in engaging interpreters and educating them on why it's important. And then they become really strong advocates internally in their organizations and strong links to the administration, and are more able to create the change in the administration culture than we are as outsiders. So you've seen some of our collaborators, but I really just want to recognize that all of this effort would not be possible without the collaboration of all of our supporters and co-leaders in the community. And particularly also two groups I didn't list on here, but that have been really important in offering us support and guidance throughout this effort, the National Council on Interpreting in Healthcare and the Washington, D.C. Language Access Coalition have both really provided a lot of guidance as we've developed. And another lesson learned that I didn't include on that slide is really to remember that there are a lot of folks that have done this work already and are really happy to give guidance and support, and to really use that instead of feeling like you got to start from scratch. And so if you want to contact me, feel free. And also my co-authors, I couldn't fit them on the first slide with the title, but Brittany, Ashley, Jamie, and Ben have been really great team to work with as well. Thank you.